This is Nerding Out with Laura. I am Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. We are broadcasting from the train car located on unceded Cassia territory of the Gidimden clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation. And yes, I've been struggling with a few technical problems this morning. I've been pretty sick lately. It's been, you know, like a monthly occurrence. I'm getting some sort of cold along with the rest of my family. And I've been hearing that this might be due to sort of global changes in the epidemiology of viruses following the COVID-19 pandemic. So, yeah, I wanted to do a little bit of reading into some articles now that we've had a few years to kind of look at the data, and I'm going to share that with you. And let's listen to Always on the Run by Les Duluxes and Les Shirley. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. the time.
Welcome back. You just heard Always on the Run. This is Nerding Out with Laura. I am Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. So first, maybe I will start with what is epidemiology? That is the study of how often diseases occur in different groups of people, and where, and why, and it's used to plan and evaluate strategies to prevent illness, and it's also as a guide to the management of patients in whom disease has already developed. So it's a really, really, really important field of study that can help us with the, possible pandemic type things. There's three ways of doing epidemiology. The first and most common is descriptive. So basically taking data that we've collected throughout the years and then using statistics to kind of organize that data by time, place, person, whatever the question you want to answer. Try to find data that already exists in the world to see if you can test that hypothesis. The second is more analytic, where you would incorporate a case control or a cohort study, so like more of your traditional setting up an experiment. And then the third is experimental, where you would try to control, like you would set up a very controlled experiment. You control for different variables and look at certain people, but it's really hard to do that with viruses or other infections and people. You can't just intentionally infect people. It's not ethical. So often epidemiology is done by just sort of looking at the data that we collect over the years. And there's lots of data out there and it can tell us lots of really interesting things if we only take a look. So this first study I'm looking at was published at the end of August in 2023. And it was published in... It was in the journal. Infection, appropriately. Sounds like a pretty good journal. This looks like a pretty good paper. I'm enjoying the name of it. It's called Old Foes Following New Ways? Pandemic-related changes in the epidemiology of viral respiratory tract infections. So we're looking at the respiratory tract. So, you know, you're breathing, you're going in through the mouth and through the bronchial tubes and into the lungs. So all of that, when we have a virus causing an infection there, we will call that a viral respiratory tract infection. And so that includes all your colds and flus, and I'll go through all the virus names for that here. So respiratory tract infections are among the most common childhood illnesses, as we all know, but they also contribute to a high number of doctor visits and hospitalizations. And these can also cause effects later in life. Infections with respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, and rhinovirus type A and C are associated with chronic lung disease like asthma later in life. So it's not just shrugging these off as a childhood incident. They can affect you later in your life. And these viruses usually follow a seasonal schedule. So there's climate factors such as temperature and humidity. So when it gets cold and it's very dry out, like the winters here, it can affect the virus stability. So how well it survives and how well it transmits from person to person. And the weather can also affect the host or the person being infected, their sort of intrinsic, innate, and adaptive immune responses. So they could be bolstered or they could be not doing so well. So I think we know vitamin D is pretty important for our immune system. We don't get a lot of sunlight in the winter, and so our immune system can take a hit. Among other various reasons. But this may explain why we see most viral infections in the fall and the winter seasons in a climate like ours. Now, we also know that human behavior and all of our patterns of behavior are also a crucial factor in the spread of viruses. So this will influence the contact rates between infected individuals and susceptible hosts. And we know that kids are pretty good at spreading viruses. You know, they haven't quite learned all of the things that adults, most adults, hopefully should have learned, like don't sneeze directly into the face of another person, you know, maybe don't wipe your runny nose onto your hand and then sort of just touch other people as you go around. So all of those types of behaviors can influence how a virus spreads. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, we undertook some pretty intense public health measures to reduce the contact rates. So physical distancing and increased use of masks and hand hygiene worked really well in preventing the spread of COVID-19 when, you know, the virus was much more deadly than it is now. That's another story. But yeah, so we did some great things, public health, to reduce the spread of viruses. But this contained not just COVID-19, but other viral infections like the flu and respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. So now we are looking at post-pandemic. After we sort of ease those public health measures, what we saw was a rising and persistent wave of non-COVID-19 respiratory tract infections in children that were observed in various countries since the June of 2021, when a lot of those restrictions eased up. And what we've been seeing is an increased burden on hospitals that can compromise the medical care of acutely and chronically ill children. So this is pretty important to study. And now that we've got a few years since the summer of 2021, we can start looking at this data and try to figure out some answers for it and what we can do and what we can do in the future to really, you know, protect the kids and protect all of us and keep our medical system working really well. And so this study is characterizing changes in the epidemiological pattern of circulating respiratory viral infections. And so initially we assumed that we would see some disruptions to the normal seasonal pattern of these viruses, but as I said before, they quickly became apparent that the number of infections was also increasing. And it's still unclear whether this will remain a short-term phenomenon or we're going to see this going longer term. I feel like it's still happening now, just from my own personal anecdotal experience of monthly respiratory tract infections in our family since November. And then we also, of course, have to think about the what kind of long-term consequences can happen when you get a severe respiratory infection now. And are we going to see increases in chronic respiratory illness happening in the future? So this study is looking from 2019 to 2022. And they were looking at a German pediatric care center for a children's hospital. And so they looked at over 4,000 patients and about 5,000 clinical samples from this hospital. And they assessed the number of patients with respiratory tract infections and the annual distribution of the virus detections between 2019 and 2022. So they included all patients presenting as outpatients or inpatients in that defined study period that had a positive test result at the microbiology laboratory for at least one of the following viruses: influenza A or B, respiratory syncytial virus, parainfluenza virus, human metapneumovirus, adenovirus, seasonal coronaviruses. Yes, actually, there are more than COVID-19. We have many coronaviruses going around. And also rhino and enterovirus. And they also looked at the age of the patient, their general condition, any reductions in oxygen saturation below 92%, which is, means that a patient is not getting enough oxygen into their blood to really be healthy, any symptoms of wheezing, fever, and such things. And so I'll go into those results shortly, but let's take another break and let's listen to an interesting song, pretty different. It's called Supermassive. It's by Amos Mann. Let me just pull up their profile here. So a composer, photographic artist, and creative producer. And he is located, why is it saying New Zealand? He does live in New Zealand. I thought this was a Canadian. Most of my songs come from Exclaim's A list, so the A as in EH, that is released every Friday with new music, but this is actually a New Zealand artist, so that's a bit different for me. That's cool, but here is Supermassive.
Black hole looks just like a single particle, just like a single particle, standing at a distance, standing at a distance. A supermassive black hole looks just like a single particle, just like a single particle, a tiny little subatomic particle. This is a pattern, this is a pattern, this is just another pattern. This is a pattern, this is a pattern, this is just another pattern. Your head around it, can you find the pattern?
You are listening to Nerding Out with Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. Today it is just me broadcasting here on the sunny morning of Friday, April 5th. I usually like to have a co-host, but I've been sick a lot and dealing with technical troubles here with my laptop and just couldn't quite get organized enough to bring on another person. So hopefully you won't get bored of listening to my voice. I would like to take a moment to thank a sponsor. Let's thank Counting on Broadway. Thank you for your assistance. I'm sure it's financial and maybe also with taxes or something. Oh gosh, that's something I gotta think about now. Remember, everybody, I'm sorry to give you this probably unwelcome reminder, but it's important. Do your taxes. Anyway, we are talking about getting sick pre and post pandemic. So what's going on with the kids these days? We are looking at a study that came out late August of last year, and they're looking at a children's hospital in Germany and what's going on with respiratory viral infections, both before and after the COVID-19 pandemic. So let's see here. We are just talking about, we just went through all the methods and now we are on results. So as we know from 2017 to 2019, pre-pandemic years, there was stable numbers of respiratory viral detections following a normal seasonal pattern. However, in 2022, there was a fourfold increase in the number of respiratory virus detections, with numbers basically fourfold increase from 2019 to 2022. And those numbers in 2022 were actually doubled from the previous year, 2021. What they found is that in 2022, seasonal patterns of the circulating virus, particularly the adeno and seasonal coronaviruses, were far less pronounced compared to previous years and almost disappeared for rhinoviruses. So those seasonal patterns, gone. Who knows what's going on with those? What they also saw is SARS-CoV-2, parainfluenza, and human metapneumovirus detections increased significantly in 2022 versus 2019. And co-infections with multiple viruses, so both two viruses at once or more viruses at once, occurred more frequently since 2021 compared to pre-pandemic years, especially in younger children. So what does this mean? What we're seeing is a dramatic increase in respiratory tract infections in children, at least in the study in Germany, and an astonishing rise in rhinovirus infections, leading to a high rate of hospital admissions in 2022. Excuse me. Still recovering myself. And these hospitalizations due to upper and lower tract respiratory tract infections were observed more frequently in the post-lockdown than in the pre-lockdown period. They found that more older children were particularly affected. And so in 2022, respiratory syncytial virus infections were significantly more common in older children. And they attribute this to possibly to a lack of exposure to the virus in early childhood and in the womb, basically. So a lack of transfer of protective antibodies from unexposed mothers. So these older, usually kids are getting infected with RSV at a young age, or their mothers were infected and those mothers passed on protective antibodies to them. And so you don't see as many severe infections in the older children. But since we had all these public health measures during the COVID-19 pandemic. Both the mothers and the young children were not exposed to RSV. And so following, you know, a return to the normal ways of life, so-called, they were susceptible. So they didn't have any protective antibodies. We don't usually immunize anyone for RSV. And so they were kind of like walking into this soup of viruses, weren't able to stop the infections, and we're seeing a lot more of them in these older children. So just generally in an increase in the total number of cases could be due to an accumulation of various infections in a larger group of children with a wider age range who missed out on exposure during those 2 years of the pandemic. So very interesting. And so that's in Germany. It was also seen in many other places. I'm not going to go through all the papers, but I did pull up one specifically for British Columbia. So this one is looking specifically at RSV, respiratory syncytial virus epidemiology, and the clinical severity. So how sick people got both before and during the COVID-19 pandemic. And this is sort of a retrospective observational study, as they say. So we're just looking at the data now a couple years later and trying to see what it tells us. And so this was also published pretty much within a day of the last paper, the end of August of last year, by a variety of authors: Marina Paramo, Lillian Nigo, Baha Abu Raha, Frederick Reichertz, Ru Yang Zhu, and Jeffrey Bone. And so the objective of this study, looking at RSV specifically, which is one type of respiratory tract infection virus, both before, during, and after pandemic measures in BC. So they were looking at cases from September 1st, 2017 to May 15th of 2023, so about a 6-year period, with a review of the RSV virus outcomes in children below 18 years old at the BC Children's Hospital. And what they found was that BC experienced only 11 RSV cases. So 11 people were infected with RSV between September 2020 and August 2021. That's pretty low in all of, well, I guess all of people admitted to the BC Children's Hospital. But this was followed by a resurgence in late 2021 to 2022 with about 10,000 cases. So we're going from 11 cases during the pandemic to about 10,000 cases after the pandemic, and then about 8,000 cases from 2022 to 23. So comparatively, if we look before the pandemic, there were about 1,750 cases of RSV infections at the BC Children's Hospital. So that's a big jump. We're seeing about 1,500, say, before pandemic, goes way the heck down, almost none, 11 cases during the pandemic, during our public health measures. It's really keeping COVID from spreading, but also apparently RSV. And then after COVID, we see 10,000 cases, and then the year after, 8,000 cases. So that is a big, big, big jump, supported by the data, not just observations in the schools. Hey, a lot of kids seem to be sick these days. So it's nice to see that data. And let's see, from 2017 to 2023, the age of children with RSV admitted to the BC Children's Hospital increased from, 8.7 to 19.6 months per yearly period. I'm just trying to figure out what that means. I think, so the median age, basically they're seeing about maybe a year older than usual they would see, I think. is what that means. Sorry, I didn't have a lot of time to prepare. I was fighting my laptop for a good 2 hours this morning. So basically the children getting infected with RSV are older than usual. We're seeing a heck of a lot more following the pandemic, which kind of mirrors the data that we saw from the study in Germany that was sort of on all those respiratory tract infections. This one's just RSV, similar data. And so we also see that more children were hospitalized from 2022 to 23, so about 360, compared to pre-pandemic. 2017 to 2020 was only 168. And even just after the pandemic in 2021 to 22, there were only 172. So we've about doubled the hospitalizations, even just from 2022 to 2023. But they do note that there was no increase in hospitalizations in children born prematurely or with chronic cardiorespiratory conditions. So that's good. So it's just more of these older children suddenly being admitted with these respiratory infections. All right, let's talk a little bit more about what that means. After another song, we have Crash by Leathers, the electro pop project of Canadian musician and visual artist Shannon Hemmett, who's also the keyboardist of acclaimed Vancouver post-punk band Actors. And yeah, so this is a brand new song from Leathers. I hope you enjoy.
Thank you.
You are listening to Nerding Out with Laura on CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio. I'd like to thank another sponsor. Thank you to the BV Farmers Market. I'm looking out at where the farmers market will be, hopefully soon. I'm assuming maybe next month. I'm so excited to see that. All right. And I also want to announce that the Smithers Scouts are going to be holding another session of bingo next Thursday night at the Legion. I had no idea how much I loved bingo until I went to the last one they had. It's a pretty fun night, not too expensive. Apparently I love bingo, so I'll be there. I hope to see you there. So today it's just me, Laura. I'm talking about respiratory tract infections. It's a personal interest after I've been sick again and again and again and again and again. So I'm looking at some papers, looking at the epidemiology, which is the study of how viruses sort of spread from group of people to group of people, and what that means and how we can help prevent people from getting sick. And so, yeah, a lot of these studies are on children, which for me is relevant. I have a child. I think I'm pretty sure all the illnesses that I've been getting are coming from her to start. She's bringing them home, with a lot of other parents out there can sympathize with that. And so we just saw a German study that saw a huge increase in the number of respiratory tract infections after the COVID-19 pandemic. We had a real lowering of the number of cases of all infections during those public health measures, and that was followed by a disruption to sort of our normal seasonal caseload of these types of infections from all sorts of different viruses. And now I'm looking at one specific to BC. We're looking at the BC Children's Hospital, and they're comparing RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, cases from the 2017 to 2023. So what we saw is a huge, huge, huge increase, more than pre-pandemic, in these cases happening after COVID. And the age of children with these infections is higher than normal. And we're seeing a disruption, sort of not so much the seasonal anymore. It's just everything is still a little out of whack from what we're used to. And also, but interestingly, children born prematurely or with other conditions saw no increase in these hospitalizations or intensive care unit admissions. So what does this mean? So they talk about a little bit about newborns. And when you're first born, you are immunologically naive, as we say. So you've never had an infection yourself, and you rely on maternal antibodies, so components that your mother makes are transferred through the placenta into the newborn child, or the preborn, I don't know, what do we call the fetus? And then you're born and you still have those antibodies to help kind of protect you a little bit while you get used to the wide world around you. And so these can help protect newborns from respiratory infections. And over the next 4 to 6 months after birth, those antibodies start to disappear. You need cells that constantly produce them. These are proteins, they break down. And so after those 4 to 6 months after birth, children would usually start getting infections and creating their own antibodies. So by 2 years of age, most children have had an RSV infection and have created their own antibodies that help protect them against that future infections. And so usually that immunity lasts about 6 to 12 months based on biennial changes in RSV. So just like the flu, you know, viruses evolve, they mutate, and your immunity to them doesn't last forever. So, you know, in the case of the flu, you should go get a flu shot every year where they try to predict what the next type of flu will be and protect you. But with RSV, yeah, you just sort of, and colds, you don't get the same cold twice in a row. Usually you have a bit of immunity and then it travels around the population and comes back to you. And then eventually you get sick of it again. But during the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic measures, children lacked exposure to RSV. And since these antibodies rapidly disappear, so by February to June of 2020 to May to June of 2021, what they found is that in women and young children in the Vancouver metropolitan area, there was almost zero RSV antibodies present in people's blood. So they'd had no exposure and they were no longer creating antibodies. Well, the ones that they'd created from their last exposure were long gone. And so these observations were made in other areas as well. So this means that it's plausible that this may have increased the number of children who remain immunologically naive at an older age. So, and it's also creating a new pool of older children with reduced immunity in the absence of viral exposure. So similar to the German study, we see older children who didn't get these RSV infections during pandemic, and then after the pandemic, they start hanging out with each other, transferring snot all over the place and infecting each other. And we're seeing a big jump in these infections. But then also, there are very young children and even children that are newborn that have no antibodies when they usually would have some from their mother to help protect them for a little bit. So they also were getting more, probably more acute, more severe infections because of that lack of immunological protection. So you could maybe even still get sick if you have those antibodies, but you'd clear it up faster and maybe you wouldn't go to the hospital, right? So this is specifically looking at people admitted to the hospital. So of course, we're not talking about, this is limited in that we're not looking at all the kids and people out there who were getting mild infections that they wouldn't go to see their doctor about. So, and really remarkably, we thought, oh yeah, we're going to see a change the year after the pandemic, but this has really persisted. We're in 2024 now, and this data is up to, you know, May of 2023. So this is quite surprising people, is that we're seeing changes in these caseloads and severity that's persisting for more than one season. So really interesting stuff. I think it's true. If you're seeing that kids are getting more respiratory infections lately and they're kind of out of whack with what we normally expect with the seasonal changes, then yes, the data supports that. And for parents, unfortunately, you know, you may be more protected than kids with your history of infections and your antibodies, but because we're exposed a lot more because of these, our young kids bringing these illnesses back day after day, you know, we just get exposed to more viral load, and that means that we also get more infections. I'm sure there will be more studies showing that soon, or I don't know, maybe people don't care about us as much as the kids. Yeah, but fingers crossed, I'm going to get through next month with no infections, and I hope the same for the rest of you out there. And you know, cover your sneeze. Big important, wash your hands, keep up with all your normal hygiene, and, you know, hang out with each other, but don't cough directly into another person's mouth, as I often tell the children around me. I think it's good advice. I'll leave you with one last kind of fun little uplifting folk song by Phyllis Sinclair. It's called Me and Pauline. Phyllis Sinclair is a Canadian Folk Music Award nominated singer-songwriter. And I think that this will be a nice one for you to groove to in this maybe getting a little cloudy Friday late morning to afternoon. But yeah, I hope you groove to it. And I'll hope to be here next week with a new topic and a new co-host to chill with me so you don't just have to listen to me. Have a good one.
Oh, the muddy Delta River. Thanks to CSUK's archives, you just jumped into the past. Now, back to the present.
Hi, this is Claude, and you're listening to CICK 93.9 FM, Smithers Community Radio.